Everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. We're presented by PPV.com in association with Yahoo Sports and Unfrowned. Let's get into it, Chris. It's we have a little fallout from the Boots Zayas fight. Who is Boots going to be fighting next? We have a big fight this weekend. 4th of July fireworks, Cleveland, Ohio. Abdullah Mason steps back into the ring. Late replacement, Albert Bell. We'll talk about that. And some heavyweight shuffling, Canelo Alvarez. Just isn't ready to fight. I found that to be quite interesting. I want to get your takes on all of that. Did you watch the USA footy? The footy, USA. We're a freaking force, baby.
Of course I watched it. They tried to steal it from us. We would not be denied. But that red card was brutal. That was absolutely brutal. That's going to hurt us real bad.
What was that? Because that was not a foul.
I mean, it is, but it wasn't. A red card's crazy. Like, to go right to a red card from there. Don't even get me started. But they were not going to be denied last night. They played really well. Very aggressive. Tons of shots on goals. I was up watching.
So this Balogun guy, he's not from the U.S. He's a birthright citizenship.
Okay, so the FIFA rules are you have to be a national, a citizen, or have a passport from the country that you play for. So you don't necessarily have to live there. And there's a couple ways that you can get a passport. That you like, if you're born here, obviously you're born in the country, you can. If one of your parents was born in the country, you can get a passport. If you spend, I think it was some kind of percentage of 5 years living in a place, you can still play. So there's a bunch of different ways that you can get a passport and be considered a national or a citizen to be able to play for FIFA. But they have a saying, it's what is it? I was literally just reading it. It was something like about eligibility. It was like,
and our manager is not American, right?
Our coach is Argentinian. Hey, he's Argentinian.
See, this is the part that, like, listen, I'm a super casual. I tune in every 4 years. And I'm like, all right, I put the USA game on yesterday for the first time. I'm really going to sit down and watch the whole thing. And I'm like, looking at all these guys, I'm like, how many of these guys are actually like full-blooded Americans? And I started doing a little research, and like the Balogun guy, like, he's not. That's technically born here, but I know I'm probably going to piss off so many people right now that are hardcore.
Oh, yeah. No, as much as I sound like I know what I'm talking about, I don't. So,
well, clearly you can't
get the saying. This is a boxing podcast.
Clearly, you're looking up the saying right now.
Yeah.
That's a saying out there, an old famous saying.
No nationality, no eligibility. That's the FIFA rules for playing for the national team. No nationality,
whatever the case.
No eligibility. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever the case, USA, baby. We're looking good. They're wearing it on their chest. That's all that matters. So next up, we got who?
We actually have a good team. So it's fun.
Argentina is playing in your backyard against Cape Verde.
Yeah, I was going to go. It's a lot of money, and it's it would have been a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Probably should have done it, but it's also 4th of July weekend, and my dogs are going to lose their minds. I don't want to leave
just
them
just getting there. Like, I got to the age now where just, like, getting to the venue. Then while I'm there, the whole time I'm thinking about how the hell are we getting out of here?
Because, that's another thing. It's like a seven-hour event, because the Argentines will tailgate big time. There's full-on barbecues and asado in the Hard Rock parking lot, which should have been the best part, exactly. But you're going to get, this is going to 6-7 hour Friday night before 4th of July. It was just too much. Too much.
Yeah. Getting at it. I mean, they're playing at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, over on this side.
Which has destroyed all the traffic patterns around
it's
this tri-state
hell.
Area.
Getting to Jordan, I haven't gone to a New York Football Giants game in a long time because that stadium is in the worst spot. There's no good way to get there. It's absolute hell on earth. Because I was like, I would like to catch a World Cup game. Like, I've never. That's like one of the only sports that I haven't really checked off. And I looked at some of the prices and I heard some of the horror stories of getting there and getting out. Like, there's only like one train, and they like hiked up the prices. There was like $150. Until someone stepped in and changed it. Anyway, I'll be watching it on my couch. I think they're playing on Monday night. I don't know who they're playing, but that's so much of a fan.
Argentina's on Friday at 6. I'm probably going to go to a local Argentine. There's so many Argentinian restaurants over here. I'm going to go and just watch with them. They freak out. It's amazing.
No, it's so cool. It's one of it's the biggest event. It's up there. I think it outdoes the Olympics in terms of like national pride.
Yeah, and also in terms of the amount of money that's made, this is
They're printed money.
Ridiculous.
So let's get into our first segment here on the show. I want to start with Boots and Zayas. Obviously, when a fight of that magnitude, there's going to be a lot of fallout. And the fallout now, number one, first off, Zayas is not exercising the rematch clause, which think you would agree is a good move. Don't see that going any differently anytime soon. So Zayas is probably going to move up to 160. Hasn't made that clear just yet. So obviously, we're looking at who is Boots going to fight next. And there was a Ring Magazine report that Fandora and Boots' team were in talks for a November-December fight. And I was looking at that report, like, there's just no way. Like, just knowing how PBC works, knowing how Fandora's team works, I just don't see that happening anytime soon. That was quickly shot down.
But that was clickbait. Fandora's. That was immediate quick clickbait.
Well, listen, they go on that show, the Ring show, and they have to say something. Like, something has to be reported, or Coppinger, what's the point of him being on that show? Like, if he's not saying these things, then I don't know what else he's doing there.
Yeah, but that's not how journalism is supposed to work. You're not just supposed to make up stories that we have. Not that he made it up, but, like, you're not supposed to just put out things that are not credible just so we have something to talk about.
Well, do I believe that, like, a call was placed? Absolutely. Do I believe an email was sent? Do I believe a text was sent from Hearn to Sampson, or from Team Boots to someone on Fandora's team? Hey, what's up, guys?
But you're hurting your own credibility as Eddie Hearn if you're doing that. I'm just putting this out there, which Eddie has done quite a bit. But, like, you just put something out there just to put out there, and of course, you're gonna have to report it. You know, Coppinger's like, okay, I got it from Eddie Hearn himself. I'm gonna say Eddie Hearn reported that is what's. But then also, it's like you're letting him play you. He's playing all of us, and it's just the credibility of now whatever comes out, people are gonna second guess. Because listen, just like you when I saw that, I was like, no way, that's not happening. I don't care who said it.
Yeah, on the show on Sunday before this report even came out, I was like, I'm not even really putting any stock or even gonna think about Fandora versus Boots, because we just know how they roll. PBC, they want to keep that belt in-house as long as they possibly can. They're looking at that Spence
Zoo
fight, which is July 26th, I want to say.
I'm going to tell you right now, though, the winner of Spence Zoo does not deserve a shot at Fandora.
Of course not.
I don't care how they win.
And especially if Zoo wins, we want to watch Zoo versus
Fandora again? Absolutely.
Again? Like, Spence versus Fandora, that fight has been trying to be made for years now. So PBC might be able to make that happen and drain that last little bit out of the towel there, a little bit of sweat out of that towel. So it gets shot down by Samson Lukowicz. He says that Fandora will be fighting his mandatory Irmal Hadribajaj. Nope.
That's not it.
Nope.
Hadribajaj? Hadribajaj?
Irmal
Hadribajaj. I called the fight. I was saying his name correctly that night. I forget it.
I even did the whole thing, the phonetic. I went and I researched. I typed his name in, and I went to multiple sources. I went to your guys' telecast. I went to other telecasts. Hadribajaj.
Is that it?
Irmal Hadribajaj.
Hadribajaj? Whatever. He's a good fighter. I enjoyed his performance when I did call that fight. But is he on the level of Fandora, who is an exceptional champion? I don't see it. He doesn't have the firepower. And it's just Fandora's different.
At what point does Sebastian Fandora take his career into his own hands? He is the perfect employee. He is
the only
a great
fighter
son.
The only PBC fighter to ever do that was Errol Spence when he made the fight with Crawford.
And that
everyone else just follows suit.
The way end. But, like, PBC isn't what PBC once was. This isn't PBC moving like a behemoth, like we're seeing now with, like, Ring and Turkey.
But that's not the issue. The issue is the relationship that Al has with certain fighters and the respect and the admiration that the fighters have for everything that Al does for them. That's why there isn't the pushback. They trust Al. Al takes care of them in every way possible. So we're doing what Al says. Al says it's not time to step up yet. I'm stepping up. Or you just be like, come on, man. Or you don't even think about it. You're just like, all right, the money's coming. I'm getting these fights, whatever. I stay in the gym. I stay training. I got big paydays and I get the fight. Not really thinking about it.
Yeah, but, like, after a while, like, there hasn't been enough public, like, scrutiny for Fandora. Like, he hasn't heard it as much as some other fighters hear it when they go on socials. That's all they see. It chases them everywhere they go, to the point where they have nowhere else to turn, and they make the fight out of, I wouldn't say like shame, but they're backed into a corner. Fandor is not there, but he needs to get more people
care,
on
though.
Him.
They don't care.
I know they don't care, but at PBC what point does he care? At what point does Fandor start to care? When I say he's an employee, because I really think he is. He does what his dad says. That's great. His dad's his trainer. They run a really tight ship along with his sister. Samson, very close to PBC, very close to WBC. Why hasn't the WBC ordered Fandor versus Virgil Ortiz? I actually tweeted Mauricio Sulaiman. I tweeted him, and he responded. It was a very funny interaction. At least I thought it was funny. I said, hey, WBC Moro loved the USA 250 belt, just bought four of them. Why isn't Fandor Virgil Ortiz being ordered, considering Ortiz has been the interim for over 680 days? He replied and said, hey, Dan, the belt is not being sold. It's a unique piece for the winner on Saturday. So he didn't understand. I was just kidding. Fandor and Ortiz have been on and off injuries and legal matters. I think you would receive the WBC Daily newsletter, which I don't. Send me your email address, and I will be glad to send you that. So he's kind of hiding behind the fact that Fandor had an injury and Virgil has legal matters. That's why I haven't ordered that fight.
Yeah, but that's not a reason not to order something.
Right? Like, he wasn't going to give me an answer, and then everyone in the replies was like, that's complete nonsense. Like, Fandor has fought since that. Virgil, what about all the 680 days? Virgil hasn't been in litigation for 680 days. So, like, we want to see Fandor in big fights. Do you want to see him fight as mandatory? Not really. Do you want to see him fight Virgil Ortiz? Yes. Boots? Yes. Do you want to see him in big fights? Absolutely. I think there needs to be a lot more pressure put down on Fandor. I know he didn't say he doesn't care, but maybe start caring, bro. That's all I got to say.
Well, all I know is he's not going to hear that. He's
I'm going to send this to him.
He's training. He's on a mountain in with
Coachella Valley
with no cell service, and he's beating up sparring partners five at a time. So I don't think he's going to get the message, which is why also I don't think he really cares, because he seems like a very unplugged guy, and he's just doing what he's living the gladiator lifestyle. He is training and sparring and getting ready. That's why him and his sister are so damn good.
So his year is going to be Keith Thurman.
He got a lot of heat for that one.
Yes.
He got a lot of
following it up with
Hadjabiaj.
Come on, man.
No,
and how old is Fandor now? He's 28.
Still in his prime. Still in his prime.
28 years old. Same age as Boots.
Getting better and better.
Yeah, you know, Lukowicz says next year, next year, next year. Does the same thing with Benavidez, next year, next year. Now, Benavidez obviously has fought in way bigger fights than Fandor, but Fandor has been around, bro. Like, this is a guy that's been champ for a while.
Benavidez was chasing big fights, like, early, really early.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting. You know, like, Benavidez has taken his career into his own hands. Fandor is not.
Yeah, I feel like that's a personality thing.
Yeah.
But listen, Fandor is a champion, and we've watched him grow, not only in terms of his style and his physicality, but also his personality. Maybe one day he wakes up and he goes, you know what? I am that dude. I'm a motherfucker. I'm the champion. Let's go. Let's go start collecting heads. I want everybody who's on top.
Yeah, like, when is that going to come? I know as fans, we get, we want it right away. We have very little patience. But I think fans are starting to run out a little bit of patience with Fandor. Because he's a great kid. Awesome fighter. He's blood and guts. He's amazing to watch. Super he's must watch.
Super fun.
He's on a list of must-watch fighters. But he's got to start stepping
three
up.
Three of the most fun fighters in the world are in the same weight class. Virgil, Boots, and Fandor are all high impact, high action. They'll go down, they'll get hurt, and they're going to get up and try and knock your head off. Like, you can't ask for more from a champion. You can, because you can ask them to fight each other. But the top three guys in the weight class.
Don't ask too much, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't ask too much.
The top three guys in the same weight class are three of the top entertainment fighters in the world today.
So, of those three, who do you think, which fight do we get first?
I think we get Boots and Virgil first. I think Fandor is kind of on an orbit of on his own because of all the things we were talking about. I do think he comes to the table eventually, but I think he's going to let them fight it out first. And it's not even about him letting them. It's like, I think that's just going to happen first. Because it's just, I talk to Robert every day, and we see how Virgil's moving. He wants that fight. He wants it ASAP. And I think Boots has grown into himself now at 54, where he really feels like, listen, I am the guy to beat. I'll fight anybody, and if the toughest guy is the next, okay, But the problem is that the same issue we have with Fandora, when does Fandora say, I'm going to be that guy? Boots is the same kind of personality. He's another one who just stays in the gym, trains hard, doesn't read all the headlines, shows up and signs a contract and kicks some ass. So you gotta look at the guys around him too. Whereas Virgil seems to be much more in control of his own trajectory going after people, which is why I think he's going to be the guy who's going to be in the next big fight.
Yeah, well, that really hasn't really worked because he put his career into the hands of his manager and that backfired.
But I mean, he wants the big fights and I'm sure he's telling him that too, but also he's got Oscar. And that's one thing, like, oh, you're going to blame Meridian, but also like there's no lack of historical impact by Oscar De La Hoya with all his big fighters. They all get into the same fight.
Yeah, I know. PBC and Golden Boy had been working together. Like we saw that Benavidez event this past year. So I thought like Fandora Virgil, if Virgil wants that, if he thinks he can pick up a belt, if he thinks he can beat him, I feel like that could be made. Not only that, he's the interim champ. He's been the interim champ, like I just said, for almost 700 days. That's insane. So that fight, I feel like, could have been made. It's looking like Boots versus Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
Could be made. I mean, that remember they said that fight was like pretty much signed. Too easy, right?
Well, I had originally heard that the fight was signed before Josh Kelly fought Murtazaliyev. That if Murtazaliyev, if Kelly beats Murtazaliyev, he's got Boots next. Like that was one of the selling points of that fight from Eddie Hearn. And that quickly went away once he actually won the fight. but now it's back on the table, I think. And I think that's going to be next. It makes too much sense logistically, financially, the ease of making an in-house fight and the fact that Matchroom and Eddie wins on both sides.
Yeah. Like I don't hate it. I see it kind of playing out similarly to Zaya's fight. I just don't think Kelly has enough pop. So
I actually think it's going to be a tougher fight because he's going to have to find Josh. Josh understands what he is. And I said that about Xander too. I thought he did, but he didn't. He came and he brought his Puerto Rican nutsack and he wanted to fight. He
dropped it right on the canvas.
He wanted to fucking fight. He really put it. He was standing on business because he talked a lot leading up to the fight and he stood on it. More power to him. I don't see Josh doing that. I think Boots is going to have to find Josh. And that's where Boots shows his weaknesses, when he has to go and find you because of the footwork. And Josh Kelly, if he has nothing else, he's got good footwork. So I think it's going to be a much tougher fight where Boots is going to have to track and hunt. And it's going to be a more difficult proposition.
So Boots in 10 then, instead of 7.
Yeah, yeah. He still stops him. But.
Yeah. How dare you say Boots has weaknesses?
Bring it all on, guys. I'll point them all out one by one. They're there.
They are there. It's fine.
I know, but it's crazy that the fanatics that Boots has got more power to him.
I shut comments off. First time I've ever done that.
It's crazy.
On Instagram, we had a video that really popped off, like over 100,000 views. I love that. Just talking about round three. You know, it's just mentioning how round three was possibly round of the year. Dan, why aren't you talking about round one? Why aren't you talking about round seven? 10 seconds makes this round of the year. Bro, round of the year is isolated. It's isolated. Just like every round in boxing is supposed to be isolated round by round.
Yeah, one of those bozos got my DM and I just go listen to the whole show. It's a clip, dude. It's a 60-second clip. How much are we going to talk about in 60 seconds?
And it I know.
And it's a viral clip. Whenever someone comes at me about clips, I go listen to the show. Because I know you didn't listen to the show. If you listened to the show, you wouldn't even say that. Or maybe you would.
I tell one guy to go listen. He goes, no thanks. And I was like, what are we doing here?
and go kick rocks.
Kick rocks. I did put out another clip where we were praising the hell out of Boots. He's him. He's here. A star is born. Et cetera. Boots cracks into the top 10 of the ring pound for pound. I think he's 9.
Saw that.
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that too. And we said that before. Remember you asked like, does he break into? I said, yes, I think he does. I don't think Xander does. So we got that answer.
He's 9, sandwiched between Haney and Collazo.
So they pushed out Navarrete?
Navarrete gets, this is why fucking pound for pound list is so silly. Navarrete did nothing to get booted from it.
Right.
Collazo fought recently, but it was like a no-hoper. They got Nakatani at 7.
Honestly, I think you should have kicked out Collazo and kept Navarrete.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's just recency bias. But also, That's why I don't like that. From 5 to 10, past top 5 of pound for pound, I give very little.
6 through 10. Like top 5 is Inoue, Usyk, Stevenson, Bam, Benavidez.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, those are the best fighters in the world, yes. That's the Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely. Last thing on this, do you believe when Robert Garcia says that Virgil will go right into a boots fight next?
I believe they would want to, but I don't think Oscar is going to allow that. I think that he's going to be smart about it because he understands. Because Oscar, he wasn't afraid of tune-ups. I think he thought they were good during his career. He had them, comeback fights. I remember the Coley fight. I was actually at that fight because on the undercard was Arturo Gatti versus Joey Gamache, the worst knockout I've ever seen in person. And it was Daryl Coley. I'm sorry, Coley. He was a tough guy, but he came back as Oscar was coming back, and that was the fight. So it was a long, layoff, and he came back with that kind of fight. And for Virgil, this is going to be a pretty long layoff. So going right into a mega fight, I don't think so.
Daryl Coley, 2000 February at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was there.
I forgot that he fought there.
That Oscar, wow. It was a big deal.
I
was in the nosebleeds, but whatever. Two of my favorite fighters in the world were fighting. Oscar was my number one, and then Arturo Gatti, obviously was there. He wasn't at the height of his stardom at that point, but
I probably went to a Sweet 16 instead.
That makes sense.
Decided to drink Smirnoff Ice in the woods and grind on.
I came home early from my junior prom to watch Floyd and Corrales. That's the kind of dedication I had at 15, 16 years old.
I'll never live down going to Melanie Stafford's Sweet 16 over going to Gotti Ward.
I was at a Sweet 16 and I was, I found a TV in the back and was watching Fernando Vargas and I Corte. Literally like all my friends at the dance floor and I'm like,
yeah,
in the back with the guys. Who are like cooking.
I wonder if the like Sweet 16 culture on Long Island is different than the rest of the country. Yes or no?
Definitely. Definitely.
It's a big deal on Long Island.
Well, Long Island is one of the most gaudy places you could ever go. Like the kinds of people that are on Long Island and the amount of money that people have in various portions of Long Island, you're going to get some crazy.
Looking back, now that I'm older and like I can see like the I never thought about the cost of these parties when I was 16.
Bro, but 20, was 30 like, grand people would drop on a Sweet 16.
But there were different tiers. Like there was that one girl who had one at the Knights of Columbus Hall.
Yep.
It's fine. Probably cost a few G's. Her dad, parents did the best they could. And then on the top end, once I went to West Hampton High School with the Hampton money out there for some of these girls, we're talking like, look like a wedding.
Yeah.
Extravagant. Like on the beach. Like happy hours and all sorts of carving stations
and valets.
Valets at a Sweet 16 is wild.
Yeah.
So
you can go 2 to 4 grand for the Knights of Columbus or 20 to 30 at a high-end wedding hall.
I'll tell you right now, those Knights of Columbus ones, those were the best ones.
Those were the best ones.
Got a little ratchet in there. Love that. All right, moving on. Big fight this weekend, Cleveland, Ohio, TNT, The Zone. Boxing returns to cable television. It should be a really cool presentation. I've been talking to our friend Adam Lefko, who will be hosting on the desk alongside Bud Crawford.
Sean
Porter, Tim Bradley. That is pretty cool. That's like an inside the NBA vibe. I thought they'd be in the studio. They're going to be in the arena with a setup. And then it's going to be the same, The Zone, our friends at The Zone.
So it'll be like a host desk. Kind of like how ESPN.
Yeah, similar to like a big basketball game. Like they did this at the finals. They had Shaq, Kenny.
Shaq and Barkley. Yeah.
Yeah, they had them there. And then I don't know if it's going to be all fights they're going to be there or they're going to be in a studio. But for this one, they're going to be there. That's one aspect of this. It's going to be on DAZN. It's also going to be on TNT. It's on 4th of July night. I'm curious how that works because everyone has parties and plans and all that. Abdullah Mason, Albert Bell. Albert Bell's a late replacement. Bell was supposed to be fighting Andy Cruz on July 18th. He steps in to fight Abdullah Mason, their former sparring partners. Bell, 6 foot, crafty, not a lot of power. Mason has the power, best young, he's the youngest champion in boxing today at 22 years old. Future of the sport, my honest, humble opinion. I like this fight. I think it's a better fight than Cordina.
I like the fight because it's, yes, it is. It is a more difficult fight. I don't like the fight because I really like Abdullah Mason. I think this is a really tough fight. And a lot of people ask me, hey, do you know anything about this guy? Like a lot of people. I was like, yeah. Like this, they're like, oh, does he stand a chance? I'm like, does he stand a chance? Yeah, very much so. He's a 6 foot lightweight who boxes really well, has good fundamentals. And it's, and you said he's not really a puncher, but he's come into his power a little bit. I called a lot of his fights on Top Rank on the way up. And he was more of like a disruptor type guy. Use the height, stay long, touch you with the jab, counter here and there, put you in your place and be okay getting a decision. I've called a couple of his fights since then. I got a chance to speak to him a little bit at the fights. And he's super hungry. And he's developed into much more of a boxer puncher where he's sitting down on his shots a little more, doing a little more damage or trying to do more damage. I see a lot of myself when I watch him, actually. Tall, long, rangy, smart, fundamentally sound, good conditioning, difficult physical body to deal with, physique to deal with. But also he's hungry as hell. Super, super, super hungry. And which, you know, this kid dropped in his lap and he said, absolutely. That says a lot. And I go to Abdullah Mason, man. I tip my hat. This is a much more difficult fight than Cordina. Cordina was a style that I just did not think meshed well for him with Abdullah at all. I thought Abdullah was going to eat him up. Boxer puncher, not very tall, not very physical. This weight's not really great place for him. This, entirely different thing. And apparently, and Bell was training for Andy Cruz, so he was ready for a big step up. Training for a southpaw. Yep, let's go. Very, very dangerous fight.
It is dangerous. I was watching some highlights and tape of Bell.
Yep.
Slows things down. He throws about 45 punches around, and he's going to have to slow this fight down in order to do the unthinkable. And it is the unthinkable. He's Mason is a minus 460 favorite here. Doesn't have many knockouts. I say not a big puncher because, you know, you just kind of look at 9 knockouts in the 28 fights. He's got 2 stoppages.
He doesn't lose rounds, though, Dan.
Yeah. I know, because he's so freaking big. And, like, I was watching him, like, in these highlights, just kind of slow the pace down, slick in and out. It's going to be difficult. Like, this is the exact type of fight I want to see Mason in. Like, I want to see him test
it. Figure it out.
Yeah, that Noakes fight was rock'em sock'em. I think Noakes kind of stepped right into the fire, and that's kind of what Mason wants. This is not going to be that type of fight. At least I don't think so. If it does, then we're kind of seeing kind of what Zayas did, where he decided to stand and trade. I don't think that Bell's going to try to stand and trade. I think he's going to use all of his advantages, or try to, and make it more, slow this pace down to a crawl, and control it. But I see a lot of, you see a lot of Bell, you and Bell and vice versa. I see a lot of, in Mason as boots, very similar types of fighters, where they stick their head in the fire.
Yeah.
They are willing to stand and trade. They're willing to get hit. We've seen Mason down. I've yet to see Boots go down, but we've seen Boots kind of stunned and rocked a little bit. These are the types of fighters you want to see. These are the types of guys you put on TNT and you showcase Mason. He's going to go in there and look for the stoppage. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and that's also another concern because it's on TNT and we talked about Bell. Like I see this as a distance fight. Unless Abdullah can bust through that height and jab and persona or personality of Bell, we might have a slower pace fight than we'd want on TNT. That's another concern. That's why the Cordina fight, because Cordina is going to be in the pocket too. He was going to fight. This is going to be a little bit of a higher brow IQ matching fight rather than a firefight, which is good for, like you said, Mason, because we get to see how he operates at that level with a guy like this. But for the fight fans who aren't as nuanced, maybe not the kind of fight that is ideal.
He might be able to get him out of there. Like if Mason is who we think he is, and he's going to fight how he usually fights, which after that Noakes fight, I think we both said it, you know, this is great. Awesome fight of the year status. But man, if he wants to stick around.
Yeah, 22 years old shouldn't be in fights like that consistently.
No, yeah. But I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll make he's just got his head on so straight. Like I was watching his interview with Ariel and just, you can't believe that he's 22 years old.
Nah, the maturity level. But you've talked to his whole family, right? All of them. It's a team. It's a team and very, very mature, you know, father, the brothers, they're all on the same team. They're all in unison, all in lockstep. They're all like that. It's just, and it's just, you know, they were raised right. And they're smart and they're connected and they're focused and disciplined. It's a total package. They really have a well-oiled machine. Those Masons.
There's one of them, two of them fighting on the card.
That's another concern too, fighting at home and your brothers and all your family's fighting.
Seen Keyshawn.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra pressure. There's a lot on this kid. Fighting at home, fighting on TNT, last minute replacement with a 6 foot tall lightweight.
First defense,
brothers on the card. It's a lot.
Makes me nervous. It's interesting. I think it gets thrown into the mix. I think you can't not look at the human element here. Of the whole thing, like
we're not machines, people.
I was just about to say that. Like, I've always looked at athletes as sports, kind of machine-like. I don't know, like. It's hard to see that you guys even have lives outside of the sport. And
we don't, but
working with you and getting closer to fighters and stuff, you realize that this sport is 100%. It's so not 100%, but it's very physical, of course, very demanding. And all that X's and O's inside of the ring, but there are so many factors outside, like you just said, fighting at home, late replacement, brothers on the card. Hey, Abdullah, I need tickets. Hey, what's going on afterwards? Is there an after party? Yo, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that shit mounts up, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, selling tickets and merch, and you got, like, you know, he's got a unit and a family and everything. That gets, and I did too. I had a lot of help, you know, from inside my own home and from around me. And I had a lot of friends that were involved intimately with my team. But it's just, it's a lot of directing. You know, you don't want to micromanage because you want to focus on the fight. So you got to delegate who's going to do what to make sure that it's all off your back. But at the end of the day, the final decision always comes back to you. And that's something to make those higher thought process decisions while you're cutting weight, while you're getting ready for a fight, while you're trying to be focused. It does sap some energy. It saps some of your force out of you, some of your life force. So it's a thing. It's a juggle. It's certainly a juggle, and you got to figure it out. But it takes experience, and that's one thing that Mason does not have. He's young.
That's crazy. He is super young. I was watching Landry Shamet, New York Nick, world champion, New York Nick, and he was talking about how game three at home, first NBA Finals game at the Garden, 27 years. Trump is there. They close off the perimeter of the Garden. He had to get there 3 hours earlier. It's not exactly the same thing, but he was saying how game three didn't feel like a home game. He said game three felt so different. And those guys were super
and they played different.
Yeah, they lost. That's the only game they lost. But like little things like that offset your normal schedule, or just outside factors that creep in. I don't care how locked in you are. I don't care how isolated you are. Like, those things start to creep in. You know, you start to read Instagram. You start to go on your phone and see all the stuff. So we'll see with Mason. That makes this a lot more intriguing, this fight. I do think he should get the victory. It's time for our FanDuel segment. FanDuel Sportsbook, go download it right now. Official sportsbook of Inside Boxing. Mason, like I said, -460 favorite. Wow. Bell is coming in at a +320 underdog. Not really looking at the money line. I'm digging, and looking for that decision. Right now, you can get Mason by decision at +210. Mason for stoppage, -115. Will the fight go the distance? Is another one. Obviously, I'm looking at if I'm going to go with Mason by decision is +100. So Vegas is looking at Mason by stoppage, but you're looking at a...
But it's a thin line. You can make money on -115. You can make money.
For the stoppage.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make money on that. And because that's a very thin line. I'm also going decision. I think the package that Bell brings and the stage of his career where he's at, because I didn't realize that he's 33. So he's right on the cusp of being stale, like getting over the hump. And at that weight, 33, you're almost like on the side of old. So, but he's also very hungry. But I think decision is the smartest route. And I think that's probably what's going to happen, unless Mason does, like you said, shows up and is what we all think he is and overproduces and exceeds our expectations. But I think with everything that we said, I think decision is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I'm not like comparing Noakes to Bell,
No.
Well, we just, like, Mason did go. He had, it's not like he's just dropping and stopping everyone. I mean,
he's also coming into his strength, his maturity, physical maturity. He still looks like a baby. Like, he still looks so young.
I know. He's got a baby face, man. Got to learn more about him. Like, obviously, he's a world champ, and he's got to take on all comers now.
Did you hear any reports that they've sparred a few times? And
yeah, they are sparring partners. He said it's going to be awkward. He said it's weird. There's no doubt. But
I heard Bell was putting it on him. Just a birdie told me that, and I said the sparring's different. Glove size makes a big difference. Headgear makes a big difference. And I can see that with a guy who's 6 feet tall at lightweight, and you got the big gloves and the headgear on, it's very difficult. Sparring's completely different, because when you got physical advantages like that and you're very good at keeping distance, like sparring for me, a lot of times when I was sparring at 140, it was pretty easy. Just stay long. You got big protective gloves. But fight night's different. Those tiny little gloves, no headgear, get touched on your chin, get touched on your solar plexus. But that's what I was told.
All right, I mean, like Boots in the gym. You were told that Boots was busting noses.
Turns out it was absolutely true.
Yes. Co-main event, I do think we see a stoppage here. Bruce Carrington, Rene Palacios. Carrington is a -1450 favorite in this fight.
Yikes.
Stay away. Stay away from that. Unless you're... stay away.
I called Palacios' last fight. He's very capable. He's very tough. He is dogged. He's hungry. He beat Suleiman Sagawa his last fight. And Sagawa is a very tough out who almost beat Shushu Carrington. And some people will argue that he did beat Carrington a couple years ago. And Palacios watched him blow out, I forgot the kid's name. Good kid though. Tough Mexican kid who dropped Ramon Cardenas, the fight before. And Sagawa.
Rafael Rosas Ramirez?
No. No.
Carlos Rodriguez?
No. Are you looking at
a lot of Mexican fights? Angel Armenta? No, Israel Gasparillo?
No, it was like two fights ago.
Anthony Salas? We're talking about Palacios'
I'm talking about Sagawa.
Oh, Sagawa. I'll go to his. I got it right here. Brian Acosta, Bruce Carrington, Ruben Villa.
So he smashed Brian Acosta. And Brian Acosta was looking really good. And he just completely dismantled him. And Palacios watched that fight, and he told Robert Diaz, his manager, goes, I want that guy. That says a lot about where he is in his career. He's ready. And he knew that was a direct line to get the Carrington fight, because he knew how close the Carrington-Sagawa fight was. I spoke to Robert Diaz this weekend about this. Palacios is very hungry, and he's going to bring it. Does he have the tool chest? I don't think so, which is why Vegas is listing it as it is. But listen, the kid's going to come.
Yeah. Carrington by stoppage, -180. I like that. I actually like parlaying it together. Carrington knockout, Abdullah Mason points. That is +382 right now on FanDuel Sportsbook.
A lot of people have been asking me about this exact thing. You did too. Yeah. What do you think? Decision? I've had the same question from five different people. Hey, does Carrington stop this guy? Yeah, probably. Does Mason stop Abdullah? Probably not. I'm like, okay, that's the bet.
I mean, that is the bet. I like the, I mean, individually, there's some value there if you want to just play those as individual bets. But the parlay is where you can find a lot of value there. For Carrington, like, obviously gets the Castro win. He becomes a world champion. Spectacular knockout, big stage. He's now 29 years old, not a kid. He's got to get into a big fight soon. He's got to fight. He's got to unify. I think that would probably be next. Is you got to get one of these other champs in there. There's so many good champs at featherweight. Like,
such a deep weight class.
Come on, man. Like, I know.
Hey, listen, it's no knock on him. He's calling out everybody. it's not Shushu. Shushu.
So what do you think it is? Like, is it the budget? Is it top rank? Is it all of it?
I think that's one thing.
Politics?
Yeah, it's politics. Because when you've got so many good champions, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of discussions and trying to negotiate the right angle. And I think Shushu's got to do what he did to get a title. He's got to take the lesser money. He's got to take he's got to be the underdog. He's got to come in and just be like, listen, I'm going to beat you. Just get me there. A lot of us guys had to come up that way. And I think Shushu's in that position in this weight class because of the names here. But you got to take the risk.
It's crazy to say, like, he just became a champion, but on the same edge, like it's starting to get a little stale in terms of like, all right, Carrington, he's great on the mic, great post fight interviews. But like, when is he going to fight someone? When's he going to be in that big fight? Because I think he hasn't been in a big fight yet.
No, none of these guys. Matias Haeta, Carlos Castro, even Rene Palacios. He's not known. Enrique Vivas. He was a top ranked journeyman. The Sagawa fight is the most recognizable name on there besides Castro, I would say. And that was a tough night. So yeah, he needs to be in with the big guys. But listen, again, he's calling everybody out.
Like I said, at what point does that just fall on deaf ears where he's not a kid anymore? Man, we got Rafael Espinosa, we got Angelo Leo, we got Brandon Figueroa. Those are the other champions. Those are all awesome fights. Leo's fighting. Well, he had the Aleem fight fell through.
Yeah.
Espinosa, I don't know when I assume he'll get back in there, Espinosa, on one of these DAZN top ranked TNT cards.
He fought kind of recently over in Mexico, right? Then they just give him like a throwaway. Yeah. A lot of Mexican champions do that. They'll just go back to Mexico and they'll blast somebody out and they'll make like a million people will show up. Gotta love Mexican fans. Go drink
some tequila afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And he's one that you got to keep him busy because making weight can't be easy. You want to keep him. Absolutely. You want to keep him stepping on that scale often.
All right, so there's a parlay that we have our eye on this weekend. Carrington stoppage, Abdullah Mason points, plus 382 right now on FanDuel. Go down on the FanDuel Sportsbook app and have a good time with that this weekend. Over to some heavyweight news. Tyson Fury announces he's going to be fighting Marius Wok.
Wok
is 46. Lost to Frazier Clark 3 years ago. His most notable recent win came in an MMA fight where it was 3-on-1.
Oh, boy. I did not know that. That's not good.
The heavyweight contender from way yesteryear. It's happening one day before the Joshua fight. It's getting ripped apart on socials, of course, anything Fury does at this point. It's going to be in Thailand in front of a small invite-only crowd. Proceeds are going to charity with an asterisk because Fury has said that this before. I hope it does. I think Fury said the first Wilder fight, he was going to donate all the money.
That's a little different. Coming from the fighter's mouth himself, I'm going to donate the money, but also this event is a charity event. Again, whatever that means. And WBC, of course, making a belt.
Is it a charity to walk? Okay.
Yeah. Now, listen, so I would rip this apart too. But at the same time, as long as we get the AJ fight, and I like how they did it right before. It's an opponent that is very not dangerous. And we get to that fight. Listen, otherwise he would just be sitting out till then, which is not a great idea on his part. But also for us, it's like, all right, whatever. This is not a dangerous fight. I'm not mad at it. Whatever. You're staying busy. He just fought a couple months ago. So I'm okay with it.
Another reason why I'm okay with it, too, is if this makes the Joshua Fury fight better.
Yeah.
Like, if Fury's in a groove, I don't understand he can get better sparring than Walk. He can, but
probably,
whatever.
He probably used to spar with Walk. Walk used to come to, he used to spar in New York with Adam Konofsky.
Oh, man.
He's
Walk
huge.
Lost to Atama 2024.
He got blown out in, like, two rounds, right?
Lost to Frazier Clark, went the distance, yeah. Huey Fury, Bacoli.
Went the distance of one of the Klitschko's, right?
Jarrell Miller.
That's his best.
Fought Klitschko in 2012, went the distance. Fought Kevin McBride. I'm scrolling deep.
The Clone Colossus.
Made his debut in 2005, excuse me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm fine with this because Fury's going to get into that groove. Mm-hmm. He's going to now have another training camp. He's going to step into the ring, bright lights. That's going to make him in a groove. Joshua getting his fight. If it makes it for a better fight, then yes. Like, obviously, it's kind of a joke with this opponent. It's the same thing like in basketball, like when they have like 3 days off in between a playoff game. It's like, oh man, I wish they were playing tomorrow. But it's probably going to make for a better game because they're going to be rested and the product is going to be better. If this makes for a better product, then so be it. I wish they would have been fighting Joshua and Fury this summer, because then I think no doubt it would be at Wembley. But, you know, the Joshua car accident changed everything. And yeah. now he's the one with the Joshua tune-up. I'm totally fine with. Like, that makes sense. Like, inferior, whatever. Yeah, at this point, it's like, whatever. Just bring that fight on, and hopefully it's the best it could possibly be.
I agree. Everything. I wish it was going right to Joshua Fury, but it's not. So here we are. And he's taken just this is a full on tune up. Nothing wrong with it. He's got no choice. He's either this or sitting around. Joshua's fighting. His dance partner is dancing.
He's over there dancing. Like, oh,
he's already there. He's over there dancing. It's like you bring the girl to the prom and she's dancing with somebody else. But
Sweet 16.
Yeah, there we go. We've got the nice little throwback there. But yeah, no, it is what it is. It's a keep busy fight. And again, like you said, if it makes the Joshua fight better, whatever.
What a saga this Fury Joshua has turned into.
I'm more worried about the AJ fight. He's fighting a guy who can punch a little bit. And if something goes wrong,
Pringa?
There, yeah.
Turkey called him Bringa. Spelled his name wrong.
That's not a great sign.
I said Bringa of Pain. Peace Summit. The Peace Summit. Did you see the pictures?
I don't know. What is that? Listen, I saw an article written about the fact that Eddie was getting on a plane in 45 minutes to go to the Peace Summit. That was an article worthy thing. What does this mean? He was making faces like, I don't know what this is. I don't really need to know.
Well, Dana White wasn't there. Nick Khan was. Nick Khan, obviously, is the top executive at TKO, which owns Zuffa. There was no picture with Eddie and Khan, who represents Zuffa. There was pictures of Eddie with the whole.
Now, wasn't there? Was crew. There a whole row of them? Khan was
a whole
there?
Row, but Nick Khan was not in the whole row.
I didn't notice that. Okay.
Turkey tweets out the group picture and puts great meeting today with Matchroom Queensberry. Blah 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 blah. Doesn't list Zuffa. Oh no, he listed Zuffa on there. Then edited Zuffa out of the tweet. And then posted a separate picture with Nick Khan and said, great talks today with my partner, Nick Khan.
I did see that.
Everything Boxing, the Twitter account, posted, Turkey, why did you edit out that? Why did you edit this? Like, what's going on? Turkey fires back. Bro, this isn't peaceful. There's nothing peaceful about this. None of these guys want peace. None of the promoters want peace. Who's actually calling for the peace?
This I don't want to make this show political, but this sounds like world affairs, like a U.S. Iran. This is kind of stuff. Like, it's like,
no, you're right. It's just pictures, photo ops.
We're gonna have a peace summit. Meanwhile, you're at the summit, you're bombing the country. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
Right. Yeah. Peace summit. But the minute Eddie leaves, he's gonna go in front of a camera and talk shit about all of them. Eddie didn't even want to go. Did you see the things Eddie was saying after the boots fight? Stick the Zuffa belt up your ass.
I did not see that.
Look at tonight's atmosphere. That's real boxing. I tend to agree with him.
But that's why Dana didn't go either. Like, he doesn't want that.
That's the whole point. Like, Dana and Eddie, yes, I perk up. I sit up at my seat. I'm actually following along. Dana and Eddie in a room, if they charge 50, 60 bucks, people would buy that. Because I would love to see them spar verbally. I want to see them spar physically.
Verbally.
I want to see them get into a ring. That's disgusting. Those are two guys in their 50s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah, I don't. They're two 50-year-old fathers. I don't need them. Business guys.
Don't need to see that. Yeah, I went on Ariel's show, and he asked me about Zuffa, and I said I think they'll be the last promotion standing. Not what I want. That's just what I think. Because they have the funds. They have the right smart people in place. Got some pushback on that. It's going to take a long time. Like, once again, a clip that gets taken out of blown out of proportion. Like, it's going to take a long time. Like, these peace talks and all this.
Minimum 10 years.
Minimum.
It'll take a long time. If that is the case, which we're too far away from it. I don't know. I'm just betting on them.
Like, let me do our FanDuel segment. Yeah. Like, I'm just, the smart money is on what TKO can do. They just have so much power and so much political might. And just, you know, everything is rigged in there to them.
FanDuel, you should make that a bet. 10 years notice. Is Zuffa the last promotion standing? We'll bet now. By the time that payout comes, woo.
It's a future bet. It's like future my Spurs bet.
Yeah, future bet. In 10 years, we'll have an answer. It's like an investment. I forgot about it.
Damn right. Moses Atalma is ordered by the IBF to fight Frank Sanchez for the vacant title.
Woo.
Atalma has a fight scheduled at the end of August against Hrgović.
Filip Hrgović.
Does that fight get blown up, the Hrgović fight?
No, it doesn't. Hrgović fight stays. They're
risky business.
They're not stepping aside right now. They're not going to step aside. No, they are going to step aside. I think they're going to relinquish their standing and their. I think Frank Sanchez obviously stays. But if you look down the line.
Jalov.
Yeah, man. So, because Hrgović is on there, he's busy with Atalma. Joshua's on there, he's busy with Prenga and then Tyson. And then Jalov is next. Make Jalov Frank Sanchez. Jalov needs his shot. This is the only way he's going to get it. The world needs to know Jalov. He's super talented, very, very dangerous guy. I like it. I want to see Frank Sanchez and Jalov. And then after that, I want to see Jalov and Atalma.
Yeah, I don't hate that. But do you think... I think Sanchez beats Jalov.
Very possible.
I think the shine is completely off of him. I think he hasn't shown anything in his last couple of performances. He's regressing, if anything.
Maybe, but it's part of being stale. He's a difficult style. You know,
I'm not doubting that. Like, his physical attributes. I mean, this guy 5 years ago, I was like, surefire, this is the future. Like, I didn't talk about it, Jalov, like we talk about Atalma now. But it was like, all right, it was no doubt that Jalov would take over the division.
Well, he never got a shot.
He also kept going back to the amateur. He's doing that, like, playing both sides things because they pay him a shit ton of money. And I forgot where he's from, but to fight in their amateur tournament while remaining a pro. And I think that stunted his growth, but it's...
Yeah, but they were probably paying him so much.
That's what I mean. That's a tough one because you got to take the money.
Yeah, I mean, when you're struggling, but he's still only 31. For a heavyweight is like prime. He's still considered like young.
Uzbekistan.
Uzbek, yeah. But I mean, he's a problem, dude. That's why Frank Sanchez is tough. He's a really, really difficult guy to deal with. But I mean, he got beat up and stopped by Ajit Caballel. I know we go back to the knee, but he's not getting younger.
Sanchez looks so good against Torres.
He did, but it was two rounds.
I would say Sanchez would be a 2-1 favorite.
But no, that's because nobody knows who Jalov is.
And I just think you look at Jalov's last couple performances. Yeah, he's getting wins, but going the distance with some of these guys, come on. You should be blowing these guys out.
Yeah.
I like now that Usyk has relinquished the belts, we're seeing some movement here. I would not be shocked.
It's going to force the action on Atalma, though. You can't baby him anymore. He's in number one positions for titles.
Happened real fast.
Yeah, he's mandatories now. Like they had time when Usyk was at the top. Now they don't. Yeah. Now you're right in the mix.
A few episodes ago, we were like, man, Thomas should be on that Mike Tyson, flow, 10 fights a year. No,
he's a full-on heavyweight contender, not mandatory challenger type.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't think they'll blow up the Hrgović fight. I think they'll continue with that because Thomas is not going anywhere. He'll get another shot. He'll get his shot. Pass that Hrgović test, see where the chips, see where they're at. Let the chips fall, I should say. Let Sanchez fight Jalov. That's an interesting experiment.
But either way, I think Atalma needs a Hrgović fight to be more ready
for that fight. They should just stay on that lane. Like I think, obviously, Frank Warren knows what he's doing. Stay with the plan. Those titles will come. It's all about securing the next 5, 7, 8, 10 years.
Public perception is going to get real murky if you start pushing step-asides. Oh, you're not ready? I thought you were Mike Tyson. You're not ready? Mike Tyson was world champion at 20 years old.
Yeah, but they're blowing up a Hrgović fight for him to fix Sanchez, who I think is a way tougher.
No, I agree. Tyson. I don't think they should do that. But like you're saying, if you're staying the route, you're going to have to do some step-asides.
Oh, yeah.
Like this is the first one, which is totally okay. But then like, all right, you ready for the next one? Are you the next in line? Maybe not. You want one more? You want to fight the loser of Jalov and Frank Sanchez and then go for like, people are not gonna like that.
No, not at all.
The public is a fickle bitch.
Oh, that's for damn sure. All right, that's our episode this week. Happy 4th of July weekend, everyone. Be smart. Don't blow your hands off. 250.
This country is so young. 250 is not old.
He was so young. He was a kid from Sopranos. He was a kid. Joey Peeps. He was a kid. Enjoy. Should be some good fights. TNT aspect.
What are you doing 4th of July?
We were going to go to Montauk. We had the whole condo.
That's a Long Island move.
We had we have this condo. We go to we've been there before. Parents canceled it. Extreme heat.
Oh, yeah.
It's 110 degrees.
Oof, no. Nope.
It's actually like I was kind of upset at first. I know my dad's going to be listening to this. We talked it over. I was like, come on, Dad. Like, the whole family, condo, Montauk. And he explained to me, like, he was out there. Like, Montauk, you figure it's like 10, 15 degrees cooler than the rest of the island because it's so far out at the end on the beach. They're saying it's going to be over 100 degrees in Montauk.
Yeah, no. Then you'd be stuck inside. So you got the whole family there stuck inside. You guys, no.
There's a lot of Kenobios too. So,
people, yeah, I know that. You're a big family. People don't understand when I tell them, like, New York summers are hotter than Florida. You get a higher temperature. We don't ever see 100. 100 doesn't happen here. Because we have
110 today.
We have humidity. We have rain. We got storms. We never. I don't.
All right, Chris. That's the end of the episode. I will be inside boxing, inside 4th of July because it's so hot. Maybe float in the pool. What do you guys got going on?
I'm running a 10K in the morning. There's a 4th of July race, and I was like, yeah, there's a little like run club here in Florida. They do races and track work, and I was like, yeah, I'll go do that.
I heard these run clubs, it's like you could meet your future
run clubs are no. So listen, running community in any kind of race community, whether you're a runner, triathlete, whatever, like the communities are awesome. Whenever I do those races, like I did one up in Long Island recently for a friend's charity thing, and I was like, these people are just so upbeat. Everyone gets up early. They go, they run, they have a beer afterwards, they hang out, and everyone's in a good mood. You got your runner's high going. It's just a bunch of nice people who like fitness. So I like going to those things. It's good, positive energy. So do that nice and early tomorrow morning. Then I got to come home and I got to watch the greatest sporting event in the history of the world, Hot Dog Eating a Contest, 4th of July, Coney Island. Joey Chestnut is back.
Is he back?
He's back.
All right, he's been back.
No, well, he wasn't. Was it last year or 2 years? No, last year he did 2 years. No,
he was there. He was definitely there last year.
Okay, 2 years ago he did his own Netflix one where he destroyed Kobayashi.
That was
and then
funny.
He was back this year, but he's been getting in some trouble. I don't know. Have you seen this? Joey Chestnut gets into bar fights.
He's a crazy.
Yes, like beats guys up at bars. And there's some body cam.
He's an American.
Sure is. He's a full red blooded American. There's a body cam footage of some cops coming to his house, and he looked hammered. He comes outside and they're like, yeah, I know we got a video of you getting charged with battery. He's like, no, what do you mean? He's like, I walked home in the middle of the night. I was a little drunk. I'm like, you look a little drunk right now, buddy. But he's showing the video and he's like smacking this guy in a bar. Joey Chestnut, man.
All-American
hero. Real dude. Real ass dude. But
he'll be fighting on like Misfits in a year.
Nah, he doesn't need to. He's killing. So I'm gonna watch that Netflix barbecue, have a couple glizzies, and then get ready for the Abdullah Mesa fight.
Awesome. I'll be doing the same minus the 10K.
Yeah. I know. I gotta earn those dogs, baby. Gotta earn them dogs.
That's right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Don't blow yourselves up. Keep your fingers so you can shoot those DMs. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We'll see you next time.